Hello, I'm Katie. I play Val. We are an independent podcast, so please consider joining us on Patreon and giving us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at CBHpod. Thanks.
Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. A Tale from the Sorrows. It was coming upon midnight when the stranger told them he was a god. Luel perked up like the tavern cat when Metia brought him a cup of forgotten milk. Fair or foul, the evening now promised to be delicious. A bit of rocking back and forth in the chair nestled Luel properly in the worn leather where he waited for the sparks to fly. His honed and practiced senses opened up like leaves angling towards the light. Give us something good, he thought happily. Give us something to take with us. Luel was a storyteller, a story thief in truth, and the godless north had been a bust. The people were good-natured, forced by altitude and a lack of godly walls to work together, and over the years had become a people who abhorred conflict with one another. Luel hated them. Not in truth, but the journey had been costly and hard, and while it had carried him far from his creditors and those who called for his tongue for telling stolen tales, it had been a bust as far as new material went. Still, a storyteller, whether divine or damned, was a trade that meant a traveler. He was proud to say his tales were hewn from among no less than three of the great walled cities, and many choice morsels brought back from a trip across the Riven Sea. In nearly all the myriad places Luel had been, a man proclaiming himself a god, even late after a night of deep drink, would have seen him dragged out of the building by his throat. He would have endured a short, brutal trial for blasphemy and faced a grisly execution in the land's customs. Fed molten honey in Kiaptha, made a home for dreaming wasps in Takuth, or grafted with iron and pushed into the charnel pits of Hai Lum for the laughing child's amusement. If he made it that far. Lucky for him and Luel's coded volume of stolen stories, this was the godless north, and the inn sat no traveling zealots, pilgrims, or seekers tonight, only locals, and so it was laughter, not cries of sacrilege, that filled the air. A startled moment was all it was. Badrick Seals, the town's headman, was the one who ended it. A broad man of ginger hair and a spectacular red beard knotted and clasped with a silver snake biting proudly onto its own tail.
"Well, stranger, that's really something," he said, commanding the room and setting its tenor to bemused. "Don't think we've had a god sit at the bar as yet. Another round, I think's in order on me," Badrick said, raising his voice to a jovial holler, a cheer, a great clack and clatter as Metia herself grabbed up a handful of pewter steins and began to fill them. The tavern filled with noise and activity, men and women reaching for their fresh drinks, reordering their chairs, opting for sight lines that could better see the stranger. Something interesting was finally happening. No one wanted to miss it. Even the three keepers back from a hunt of some undoubtedly unspeakable horror, which had left them with their traditional haunted eyes and dour grimace, rustled in their mud-brown boiled leather and turned an ear. Luel didn't take his eyes off the stranger. It was rare that someone said something he had genuinely never heard before. As a story thief, he had sharpened his ears to knife point, lined them with hooks, whispered conversations in the tavern's dark corners. Sure of their privacy, Luel snagged every word. He had heard every strange secret, devious plot, hushed treasonous scheme, wild drunken boast you could imagine. But the man had come in an hour past, ordered by pointing at the tap, and sat quietly as if he was waiting for something. And then, just after 11, he had muttered it. I am a god. The stranger was taller than any other man in the mountain tavern, and Northman tended to be larger than average folk, but his height was nothing truly strange, nothing that Luel had not seen before. The men of the salt tables were tall enough that just the sight of them was startling to a Midlander like him. This man was not so tall as to be truly odd. His face, beneath the brim of his wide hat, was just a face. His jaw was square, his lips were thin, unremarkable. A dusting of stubble marked him as an outsider, as no Northman in his right mind would shave his braided beard. His teeth were white and straight, marking him as a man of means whose family had been able to afford a physist. But his garb was simple layers of cloth and leather, his cloak like a thousand others. The stranger smiled as Bodrick slid a stein in front of him, white froth moments from spilling down the side.
We did not forget about you, Holy One. It's no nectar true, but it's as fine a draught as we can muster this side of the mountain this time of year.
The candlelight caught on the stranger's teeth. Luel was surprised when a shiver ran down his spine. So sharp. He tried to shake it off. It was not like he believed the man. He was just a joker livening up a tavern on a cold night. A fool living dangerously, stoking the hearth fires with a bit of blasphemy. A ploy to get a pint by sheer audacity. It had worked, after all. Still, as the man spoke, Luel caught glimpse after glimpse of sharp and white along the edges of his teeth, and the chill would not go away, despite his proximity to the tavern fire.
My lord, someone called from the crowd, perform for us a miracle.
Yes, oh yes, a rosy-cheeked young woman chimed in, with a giggle over the renewed laughter. Luel thought her name was Nedda, but could not be sure as he had not found her interesting. As a story thief, Luel often imagined himself like a mad trawling fisherman, scouring innumerable amounts of fish, but only keeping the one in a million with an extra eye, or three tails, or who could sing. After a few nights at Metia's listening to Nedda's dreams of being a cheesemaker or an oxmarm or some such, he had heard all she had to tell and tossed the story of Nedda with rosy cheeks and a heaving chest back and not thought of her again. The stranger reached within his cloak and with nimble fingers produced two copper tokens. One he placed at the bar with a smile that let Metia know it was for her. The other he held out towards the room's center and spun along his fingers. As the copper coin danced, it glinted more and more rapidly in the firelight. The laughter ebbed as just a touch of genuine anticipation began to build. The light from the wide hearth, a dozen thick candles and two copper lanterns, began to catch on the coin's surface at irregular intervals. Luel pulled on his pipe again, but the acrid smoke did not warm his lungs as it usually did. He gathered his velvety green cloak up around his knuckles and pulled it in tighter. The tavern flame crackled and spit just beside him. He had told enough stories over his time in Peshawood and the half-dozen cliffside taverns nearby that they had begun keeping the storyteller's place of honor open for him. If the truth, that he was a liar and a thief of tales, was known, he would likely have been thrown down the mountain instead. But his own story was not one he ever chose to tell, nor was ever asked to. Luel breathed into his cupped hands and caught himself staring at his fingers. The coin was moving fast enough that it had almost everyone's attention now. His fingers, Luel realized. The man has too many fingers. But he hadn't before. Luel had honed every bit of himself to look for the unusual, to trap and catch the odd and interesting. He stole people's stories, threaded out the names and places and stitched in new ones, then sold and resold them. There was no way, no way at all,
that he would have missed a seven-fingered man, let alone a seven-fingered man who introduced himself as a god. The stranger caught the coin mid-tumble off the end of his extra digits. Those gathered in the tavern clearly had been waiting for something more grand than a tumbling coin trick, and loud guffaws and jeers exploded into the room.
"Boo! I want my pint back!" Metia laughed, tossing her rag on the bar with a wet slap. "My sons can do that with acorns," someone bellowed.
Laughter kicked up again. Several men were trying to dance coins across their own knuckles, and moments later, iron was clattering to the floor.
"I could do it myself if I wasn't so damn drunk," one of them shouted.
Amid the chuckling, boasting, chiding, and swearing, the stranger muttered under his breath, "Wait." Luel did not want to. The Swamp of Sorrows is a strange, dangerous place. The wayward heroes helping Valeriana and Lavaline are just as strange, but luckily just as dangerous. The group trudges ever deeper into the legendary swamp in search of their quarry, doing their best not to soak up the mystical sorrow coursing through the muddy landscape. They close in on Kel and the mythical Kelpie horror she seeks to take for a mount.
All right, meanwhile, Cramuel and Acheska are at the docks.
Do you have any tips on how one might go about subduing one of these creatures?
Legend says if you can get onto the back of a Kelpie and break it, it's yours forever. Because it respects anything that is more wicked and more tenacious than it is. However, Kelpies tend to ride their victims into the water and drown them. So I suppose if you could breathe water, it'd help.
Oh.
That's probably what she was thinking.
I can't
do that.
Shut
the fuck up, garbage.
Wait, back up. Who is she?
I don't know, that stranger seemed awful dangerous. We probably shouldn't talk about her.
Well, no, that's kind of who we're looking for. We're looking for someone who is looking for a Kelpie.
Oh.
Perhaps of the evil persuasion?
The one. One of them has gotten that fish up now, and he looks into the fish's eyes and he goes,
"Goodbye, fish."
Oh.
Jesus.
Brutal. Wait, anyway, back to
in
this.
In the center of town, in a hole in the ground, our storyteller hangs around.
Oh. That's a weird place for a storyteller to hang out, but he'll know where to go?
All right. They all nod in perfect unison.
Acheska, we away.
All right, Bronx, let's go.
It's Bonks.
Oh, I'm Miss. So fucking... I am so sorry.
I was told not to call ladies ma'am. They don't like it.
Acheska getting mad back at him is great.
Because it leads to unfair assumptions about one's age, and we shouldn't do that.
What the fuck do I care how old you think I am?
Well, some people are sensitive to it, and I try to be respectful to everyone's boundaries.
So women are super sensitive and crazy is what you're saying to me right now.
Listen.
Get him.
So women need
Drag
to be coddled and treated differently and separately and have, like, special considerations.
Drag him.
I'm on a constant path of self-discovery.
Holy.
And self-destruction.
Living and
like.
Learning over here.
I will take your comments into consideration and do my utmost Cramuel, not to repeat
Cramuel,
the offense in the future.
Cramuel, please forget everything that I just told you.
Shut up. Done.
Don't have to
All
ask
right.
me twice.
So, back.
Should we go to this pit?
Yeah, let's go to the hole in the ground in the middle of the turtle town of sad people. And grayness. Sounds
Love
great.
It.
Hell yeah.
All right, back at the marketplace.
What do you have to offer?
I have several bottles of alcohol.
Fucking Ooh. Awesome. Give them up here. Did it to me.
Wow. Well,
I love drinking.
That was easy.
Herdies, your pixie dust would clean up.
I know. Here. I'm like,
yeah, putting this yeah. one on the map. Yeah, gonna juice like, these. Come back in a while. They're all like, hey, everybody, how you doing? Peppity, peppity, pep. Everybody.
Nothing to the train. There we go. Welcome to the swamp.
Nothing in the train. Nothing in the swamp. Like, I can't even follow what they're
the
saying.
Buckets,
that the one's over there just yelling, nothing in the train, nothing in the swamp. I don't know what it's what it means, but I think that it snorted a lot of pixie dust.
Listen, let them live.
All right, so you trade a few bottles of alcohol, which this thing guzzles down greedily,
oh,
while the
dear.
Others slowly, like, give me my portion. Like,
wow.
So oh, sad, gave, grotesque.
I gave them each a bottle.
Oh, yeah, that's, oh, well, then.
They needed an escape.
Then they don't kill each other later
such
after
a generous
you leave.
Sovereign.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, they tell you where to find the storyteller in the center of town, and sure enough, you all meet back up looking at just a hole in the mud. Like, right in the dead center of town. It's dark and winds down into nothingness. It's only about this big. And it's pitch black down there.
Oh, so
oh they it's our compatriots.
You, they told you guys to go to the hole, too?
They mm-hmm. did.
Storyteller.
Yep.
Only hello!
Only
hello!
Only
hello!
Allowed to talk about the particular thing that
I'm,
we're all
I
want to
just kick Cramuel into the hole. Just,
he's way too big to fit in the hole. But
ow,
Herdy,
why are you kicking me?
His, like one of his thighs gets like stuck in the hole.
Oh, sorry. I saw a bug.
Nice. I respectfully ask that you stop doing that.
Cool.
Herdy saw a bug and it made her want to kick you into this hole.
So I shot him. It's a natural reaction.
The bug was like over there.
There was no bug.
Can you imagine? Like, I saw a bug and it made me want to hurt you. Like,
she didn't really say the bug was on him.
I know.
I saw a bug.
She just saw a bug.
I
I'm
saw
gonna
it.
Kick Cramuel.
Don't fight me. I saw it. That
is
didn't
it
sound good.
Mr. Storyteller?
Well, hello.
Hello.
Says the voice coming from the bottom of the hole.
You know, given everyone else we've interacted with so far, this is unexpected.
Hello.
Are you interested in a tale?
Always.
Well,
proceed.
Hold on.
A specific
Jesus.
Tale.
Yes, we're interested in a specific tale. Green right. Lavaline, would you like to request?
Yeah, we were told that someone approached you.
Don't put anything in the hole.
Oh, sorry.
I was about to like throw a coin in the hole.
Cramuel, oh. Can Cramuel, you just keep just your hands and your mouth and your everything to yourself for like 5 minutes? Great, thank you. Carry on.
Someone came to you a couple days ago asking about Kelpies.
You want to know about Kelpies too?
Whatever you told the other person about Kelpies, we would also like to know about Kelpies.
You want to hear the tale of Miali the Rush.
Is Miali the Rush tale was what? That was barely a sentence.
I feel like I've thrown you for a bit of a loop with my demeanor and the fact that I'm down in a hole.
Yeah, all of these things. But we're figuring it out.
Is that the story you told the person?
Kel under the waters.
Yes.
Yes, Kel under the waters. Is that the
She
tale?
Seeks a mount as wicked as she is. Would you put something in the hole?
I thought you said not to.
What would you like? What do you request?
It's just eerily quiet.
No one's ever asked it that before.
This Pennywise situation is not
we all float down here.
Holy shit, it totally is.
Well, if he doesn't respond, then Cramuel is going to flick a coin into the hole and say, I wish this guy would be more forthright.
Down in the hole, the storyteller says,
thank you, Cramuel. That's delicious.
Damn it.
I mean, it wasn't meant to be, but I'm glad you accepted it in the spirit in which
it was offered.
It was offered. Yes, thank
you. So will you tell us the tale now?
Miali the Rush. An ancient and lovely steed that waits along the edge of the waters and gives you one last thrilling ride. It was one of the first of the Kelpies to look up at the shore and wonder how succulent the flesh of those above were. And it learned again and again. It's grown big and strange and cruel. A fitting mount for a legendary knight like Kel.
Legendary. What did you say?
However, it is not just Miali the Rush's size and power and cruelty. It is its particular appetites that make it more than it would be. Because the Kelpie hunts along the edge of a particular bank. A bank along the shore of the realms of gold.
All right, would everyone please make a intellect check to see what you know of the realm called the realms of gold.
I'm usually so good at this.
Aww. Yeah, what's your intellect?
4.
Mine too. We packed our agility and strength stats.
Oh my god, I'm rolling like an absolute trash heap today.
Oh, I rolled 11. 15.
What 10. Assets do 11. I have?
Driven, old school, opportunistic.
Old school will work.
Okay.
Yeah, so did we got a 15 at the table?
I got a 15.
I have 10.
Okay, so you have heard of the realm. At 10, you've heard of the realms of gold. You probably have some particular, like, cultural thing on it. So, like, for a Chimerite, it would be, like, an endless plain of fruit and wheat and loveliness that after you die, you get to go to and just be happy
like
and cozy forever. It's one of the afterworlds. It's a world that you go to after. They are real places, but they're really hard to get to. And once you go to them, you can't ever leave. Like, your form is no longer appropriate for other realms. They are an afterworld. Not everyone who dies goes to an afterworld, but some people wind up there. So, the realms of gold are...
It's where the championship belts are made, right?
Yep.
Wow.
It's a place where dreams are made of. Where it's basically if a really satisfied spirit, or a spirit that, like, met its goals. It's like it achieved what it wanted to in life. Sometimes it has enough oomph to punch through to a place called the Realms of Gold, where it kind of continues on its story even after its story was ended. So to hear that this Kelpie hunts for souls that have found like a sort of paradise in an afterworld is a pretty gnarly thing to hear. Basically, it's hunting people out of heaven. That's pretty
uncool. Because we're all on spiritual journeys, and if you reach that nirvana, I think personally, you should be able to stay there.
It's a hot take.
I am not on a spiritual journey.
Oh,
Miali the Rush steals from heaven itself. Quite an achievement among wicked creatures. And Kel has gone to break this mount and make it her own.
We should stop it, right?
Yes. I promised its head to all the drunks at the bar, so...
Okay.
Where do we find it? This banks of... Where it hunts.
The banks along the shores of the realms of gold.
Yeah, those banks. Where are they?
Normally, I'd make you pay to hear such valuable information. However, I think that what's likely to happen should you go there would be quite a story. And that's enough payment for me.
Well, then can I get my coin back?
Yeah. Reach on down here. I'll hand it to you.
Don't do that.
And I'll draw a map to where the realm of gold shore is on your palm.
Okay, but I hope it washes off.
Acheska, like, grabs your wrist. I can't believe that I'm doing this, but don't put your hand in there, Cramuel. You could get hurt.
Oh, you think he's going to hurt me? I just gave him a coin.
Oh, yeah, you guys are probably best bros, but...
But it might be worth it for the map.
Holy shit. You're willing to hurt yourself to help us?
Well, I think so, yeah. If it helps people. That's my game. I'm all about positive vibes.
I'll make sure that we can pull his hand back up.
Yeah. Just anchor my... Someone grab my ankles like nugs when I'm doing a keg stand.
No.
And so if I get the support, then you guys will be able to yank me back.
Monster, I'm going to drop a moon bomb in your hole if you hurt this idiot.
Oh, I wonder who she's talking about.
Holy shit. Okay, so what is everyone's reaction to when Cramuel slowly starts to lower his bare palm into the hole in the ground?
I'm aiming my gun at the hole.
Okay.
And keeping a safe distance, because okay. I am all about self-preservation and being ready to kill something.
Great.
Barricade, bro, grab my ankles.
Oh. I will grab your ankles. You make sure the front part of him stays attached.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll grab your shirt.
All right.
I
don't know why I was picturing him shirtless, but he must have some sort of garb. Yeah.
I mean, I have a t-shirt on with the sides cut off.
Oh, yay!
God.
But it's really sturdy. It provides him solid armor.
Actually, I'll get a tighter grip than that. I'll wrap my arm underneath his his arm and basically be completely holding him in a bear hug while feeding his hand down.
This is so fucked. This is so dangerous. I can't believe you're doing this.
You know, this is probably going to hurt, right?
I mean, I've been hurt before.
Wow.
One time.
No.
Whoa. Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, well, all right. Well, one time Nugs and I were playing a game called Who Can Hit the Other Person in the Nards the Hardest.
Nice, nice.
And, remember that one.
Nugs went first, and let's just say there was not a round two.
Oh, man.
Wow. So I could take pain.
Okay.
The witches are going to be very upset to hear that about their breeding stock.
He's fine.
Does anyone have a leather strap?
No. Nope.
Oh, wait, I guess I do.
Yeah, you do.
Take part of my harness off and say you might want to bite down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think the cloak is ready to, grab him if need be.
Lavaline's a little subtle in what she's doing, but she does stand close by, basically ready to chop his arm off.
Nice. That's so just in case that, has to happen. Okay.
All right, well, lower me down.
I mean, it's not ideal. I need the map. Yeah. I still let it happen.
All right, actually, Herdy, would you make a cunning check? Mm-hmm.
See if I can roll above a 2 for the first time today.
That'd be great.
Rolled a 2.
Oh, my God.
So that's 7, and what can I call on? Let's try things that I think would help me know things about my environment. Hunter, bold, driven.
I think that all of those would work in
okay.
this case.
So that gives me 13 plus 2 is 15, and it's my intellect score?
Cunning.
Plus 5 is 20, so I got to 20 from a 2. Holy
See? Shit. You have some massive, you have massive facet. Well, you have really big facet bonuses uh-huh. as a higher level character, so they, as long as you're in...
Fail forward, people.
Fail forward. As long as you're, in method, you're going to have some pretty big bonuses. Anyway.
What do I know?
Herdy watches Lavaline and sees that she is, going to... what exactly she's planning to do to, sever his arm should it need to happen. And you realize, I would have to say, game probably recognizes game a little bit. You're like, oh, yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea because, we don't need him to have a hand. Mm-hmm. We just need him to not be sucked into the hole and die.
Right.
And whatever. However, everything in your spicy little brain tells you that, whatever harm is going to be done to him isn't going to be physical. You're not even sure there's anything in the hole with, a physical body. because you've been here. Your sensitive little nose has been twitching. Your ears have been listening, and with your level of experience, you're pretty sure that this thing is like discorporated, or maybe it is the hole. The hole is the thing.
Oh,
it's giving
like
you
that.
A bit of a mimic vibe.
I don't like that. This is making me uncomfy.
Okay.
All right, I got you.
All right, well, hold me down there for count of 10.
Hold me closer, Tiny Dancer. Let's go.
One lands of on, two lands of on, three lands of on. That way...
I can count to 10.
Well, yeah, but...
He's really good up to 10.
I mean, I'm just saying, you got to give a little space. Between.
Lands of on, yeah, got it.
Yeah. All right.
Here we go. All right, and they lower him down into the hole where he feels... A very delicate pressure on his palm. Like the tip of a quill or something that feels like it's scritchy scratching along your palm. And then something sort of just like wet, like almost like something like kissed one of your fingertips.
Ew.
Almost dead.
Ew.
Okay, but just... You're kind of invading some of my personal boundaries. Okay.
You feel almost like someone licking the back of your fingertips.
We're getting close to the edge of something here.
God.
Sorry. Can't help myself. Ugh. Well, thank you for respecting my boundaries.
Oh, you're welcome. There you go. You should be able to read that just fine.
All right, I'll pull him up.
Release me.
All right. So he comes up, and sure enough, he has a very clearly, very well-drawn little map on his palm.
Check it out.
God damn it.
We got the map.
That shouldn't have worked.
Lovely grabs his hand so she can examine it closely to try to figure out how to get there.
Okay, ooh. Cunning check. And a focus check from anyone else. So cunning to read the map. And focus to observe says something weird may have happened.
Great.
Cramuel, would you roll a luck check?
Luck?
Cram it, Cramuel.
No need.
There's only a few. I only have a few things that can happen here, but depends on how bad it's going to be.
Instinctive, empathetic, and shrewd?
Yes. Well, not empathetic. You're reading a map, so instinctive and shrewd will work.
Okay.
I've got composed, mm-hmm. selfless...
Yep, because you're inspecting damage to someone else.
And orc.
Not orc. I don't think that would help you in particular.
No.
Not to be crass, but in true Cramuel form, I got 69.
Oh my god. God. Kill him. Can nice. We kill him? Man.
22.
Also 22. My focus.
So Lavaline is able to decipher the map. You can see where the turtle is. You can see where the shore is. And it looks like you have to go through like a little ravine and then back out of the ravine and then back into the ravine again. Like there's this little loop. Like you have to go into it to trigger something and then back out and then back in again. And that will like change which path you're on. At any rate, the barricade notices... they look about the same size, but two of his fingers are not his fingers. Two of his fingers are someone else's fingers. Ooh. They, like, the skin tone doesn't quite match anymore, and, like, the wrinkles are just a little bit kind of different, and the fingernail length is a little bit longer. Ooh. So his pinky finger and his middle finger have been replaced with someone else's.
Cramuel.
Don't love that.
Yo, yeah. Weeks.
Those fingers look weird.
Oh, no. That's two of my three favorite fingers.
Oh, my God. Sorry for your loss. What does it mean?
I mean, maybe I just got to get a new moisturizer or something.
No.
Quit smelling them.
Yeah. I really need you to stop smelling them. Your fingers.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. I just...
I know.
Wanted
but
to
I
see if they were evil.
Yeah, no.
That's
get
how
it.
You test evil?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Sniff
yeah.
test. Evil sniff test.
All right, well, as the Italians say, come si, come sa.
What?
Okay. Jesus. Fucking Christ.
That means like Hakuna Matata.
Okay.
So no worries, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to tell us not to worry.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm worried.
I...
Right, so, we're all worried, right?
So he has mimic fingers. Big deal.
Whoa, what?
Is that what they are?
I don't know.
Well, you seemed really confident when you said it.
I mean, that's how I say everything.
Fair.
All right, so we know where we're going?
Yes.
Then let's move.
Question. When we arrive, we're after the princess. She's disguised as one of Kel's hounds, right? What's our plan? Do we have a plan? Is our plan to kill her and kill her way through all of... What if the princess is killed in the fracas? Then we have come here for nothing.
No, it's been great being here. So it wasn't for nothing.
This has been a frigging delight, let me just tell
Incredible.
You.
Incredible.
The drinks, delectable.
You got to have
the ambiance.
We saw
fantastic.
The saddest fish murder of all time.
Hey, how about just none of us kills the princess?
Okay, but how do we not... Okay, I fight with big lunar explosions.
Well, don't.
Okay, I'll just go home then.
Yeah, you're asking a lot of
You must have
like
something
us.
Else you can contribute other than nuking the entire beach.
Well, nope. I don't
Can't
want,
say I do. Bye.
I don't want to... Yeah. Okay, fine. You're right. I can do other things.
Also, I recently did a strengths finder, and turns out I am not a detail-oriented person, so...
Turns out.
That's shocking.
It might be hard for me to spot a princess if we're in a fracas.
Okay, well, then you don't kill anything.
Okay.
He can kill Kel.
Yeah, you can kill Kel, and you can kill the Kelpie.
Okay.
Well, okay, how about we make sure in our high-powered, explosive style that we are only targeting Kel and the Kelpie.
And we leave the ghouls to those with maybe more precision implements.
Nuance.
Yeah. All right.
We're not nuanced fighters.
No. I have to say...
I've seen you... snipe an enemy mage from like 600 yards.
Yeah.
Whoa.
If my bunny senses work, but if they don't work, you've also seen me take out
strafe a small village.
Entire families and villages.
I mean, we all roll a one every now and then.
Some of us just roll a one a little more often.
Yeah, that is
others.
True. Herdy was a feast or famine roller.
Uh-huh.
Remember the triple 20?
I don't want to talk about it.
You're a sniper, though?
Sometimes.
That's the worst response for someone to be asked. So you're like a sniper? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I destroy everything. Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
My favorite Mark Wahlberg movie, The Shooter.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh. Well, thank you for that input that no one wanted or
Blarf.
Asked for.
Wow, you guys are tough nuts to crack.
You still call him Marky Mark, though?
What if during battle princess does not turn back from ghoul into princess? How will we discern which ghoul is princess?
We'll just take all the ghouls.
Take ghouls? They are Kel's hunting hounds. They will be very deadly and
Can
dangerous.
Can we find a way to mark the princess?
Hey, what about your magic stuff? Can't you figure out which one is actually a princess in disguise with your magic stuff?
I could try to... Dispel illusions.
Wait, what color is ghoul blood?
Ghoul's blood.
Make them all bleed.
Ghouls bleed like dead human blood. It's like viscous, blackish red.
Yeah, so the one that bleeds bright red is probably the princess.
So we have to risk harming the princess to find
out. I'm
so
okay with
we're
that.
Kidnapping
dying.
Her. What the fuck do you think this is?
We don't
want
to physically harm her.
Eh.
A slight injury, probably. I mean, she is the daughter of the Queen of Spite. I'm sure she's plenty strong. Okay, that's actually not a bad idea. She'll be able to glamour her exterior to look like a ghoul, but her blood should be unaffected, as glamours tend to cover just the outside.
Well, I call not...
Look at how satisfied he is with himself
the
over there.
The barricade is the brains of the operation.
Well, if you're the brains, then you can also be the execution. How are you going to cut this princess so that they bleed and don't die or get more hurt?
Hey, lots of wounds aren't mortal.
I'm going to... chop her so hard that
he's gonna give her a literal chop with his hand.
They're gonna karate chop her with your hand.
Yeah.
We've executed some dumbass plans together over the years. This might just be the dumbest ass plan you've ever had.
You know what's going to be great is when he...
Do you want to test out my chopping ability?
Absolutely not.
Here's what's really great. The most epic fail of all time was a series of ones that led to a bunch of innocent civilians being murdered by Herdy. Wouldn't it be funny if you killed the princess with just an errant 20, like an errant crit? You just chopped too well and did all of her health as damage.
This is exactly why I think these ideas are so bad. Yeah, because one of us is going to roll and fuck this up and kill her.
It's right, going to be a miracle if we figure this shit out.
I've got a razor blade under my wrist tape. I'll just...
Just nick them.
Give her a stabby stab? Mm-hmm. Okay. Give all the ghouls a stabby stab and find the one that bleeds the brightest.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay, can you stabby stab in like a fleshy and not...
Yeah, it's going to be right up here.
Oh, God. Okay. You're going to stab them all in the head.
No, that's not a stab. It's a slice so that blood will drip all over.
Open up the capillaries along the... Okay. Yeah, the forehead bleeds like a son of a bitch.
Okay. It's called a crimson mask.
Yeah, it's a wrestling thing. Oh my God, you guys. So, by the way, Calendar has been writing everything down that you've all been saying. You guys, this is some gold. I just gotta tell ya. You know, surprisingly, Cramuel has been getting, like, the most screen time so far. You're a hit, buddy.
Oh, well, thank you.
And by screen time, I mean I'm writing the most about you because I like you the best so far.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Total baby face.
Yeah. Weird how that happened, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not upset.
Yeah. Well, you seem a little upset.
Classic Cramuel. I didn't ask for it, but it fell into my
lap.
You
seem a little annoyed that I like him the best. Does that hurt? Does that hurt? Did it hurt your feelings a little bit?
It doesn't hurt.
Does it hurt your feelings?
I don't think about you at all.
Ooh. John Draper. One of my personal heroes.
Holy. Cramuel just got canceled.
It was a different time.
Oh my God! Both times?
Both times.
Thought you were a baby face, but you could work as a heel. We could do this.
Yeah. All right.
Guess we're wrestling.
Hours of tracking, trailing, and slaying swamp beasts later, the party has reached the shore of the realms of gold. They've crossed the bridge to Terabithia.
Oh, no.
Gone to Narnia, and then back, and then back again, and then back a few more times, and it has something to do with World War II. I don't know. I didn't read those books. But but after all of that adventuring, the group has made their way to the shores of the seas of the realms of gold, where this gray, misty trek of doldrum nothingness meets a faint glimmer, like that shore is bathed in hopefulness, like it might lead out of the swamps into something more beautiful, something better. But there's an etherealness to the whole place. The space is like bathed in mist. Everything is very flat. There's a few feet of water and a few inches of mud, but other than that, it's just, you know, so some of you are into water up to your shins, so, knee. Some of you are in water up to your waist, depending on your height, because Herdy is very small. But it is glassy and still, and the mist coils and curls like the claws of some massive, multi-limbed animal out over the horizon. And you have found where Kel and her ghouls lie in wait. So, with your miraculous ranger powers and patience and some sound dampening illusions cast by the bard, you are able to reach one of the few kind of massive barboa trees that are in the area and head up top past the fruits that look like human faces of people who have died in your life. Peer
casual
out.
Casual creep. Okay.
And peer out where you can see basically like this like little stand of sort of mossy lumps that after peering at them closely, you can see twitch every once in a while. And after a few minutes, indeed, one of them pushes up, and a small, squat face of some sort of fey goblinoid creature with long claws and a hunched back and a very intense expression peers out into the mist. Kel is sitting on a rock, just staring at the shores, staring at the water around, like observing this placid area, looking for her quarry.
Do we have any idea what their role is in this? Were they just like protecting her, getting her here?
Well, let's see. Someone called them her hunting hounds, right? Isn't that what Allfeel said?
Oof.
Called them. So maybe they help her track them. Maybe that's why we're on this particular part of the shore. Or maybe they're to like wear down the Kelpie before she engages it. Isn't that what? I don't know what people use hunting hounds for. Isn't that it, to chase down things or track them
and retrieve?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Personally, my opinion is. What?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Personally,
no, don't actually.
My opinion is that we full on attack this Kel person thing.
Like, right now.
Right now. Full force.
Before the Kelpie even is here.
Because I'm feeling good about it.
Okay.
I mean, that is an interesting idea. What if we just take Kel out and fight the monsters before the Kelpie ever arrives? Maybe it will be run off if it sees a battle. Why would it get involved?
Maybe when it gets here, we can reason with it and explain that Kel was trying to enslave it, and then it'll be our ally.
I don't know much, but I think reasoning with Kelpies is a long shot. But
okay,
it's too bad we don't have Otax here. Didn't he rip the head off of one recently?
Yes.
I get why he wanted to go to the Sacred Grove. But hey, you could rip the head off of Kelpie. She says, gesturing to the three enormous warriors who are with them.
Yeah.
And then including Val in the sweep. Like, you could rip the head off.
I mean, I hate to agree with Cramuel, but I love opening fire on a target.
Then we just maybe remove the Kelpie from...
Right?
From the whole plan. Right,
why don't...
To quote my friend Fred Durst... Let's break some stuff.
Bomb da bomb da bang da bang.
No, that's Kid Rock.
No, that's my other friend Kid Rock.
Those are the same person.
Right. No. I've never seen them in a room together.
Wait, isn't Kid Rock Fred Durst?
One of them goes like this.
Okay. Yes, Kid Rock.
Goes like this.
Let's
so
rock and
are we
roll.
Just gonna we doing this? We just gonna
I guess
fuck
gonna,
her up?
I like that.
Hell yeah, let's scrap.
I can't believe our frigging plan to just Donnybrook is Cramuel's plan. I don't know. It's perfect in its simplicity.
I can have an idea or two every now and then.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut, you know?
And I used to find very much nuts in my day. With consent.
Huh.
I'm sure.
I don't know if that came out the way that you were thinking.
Although the Cramuel maybe, doth maybe, protest too
yeah,
much.
Box is a pansexual
maybe.
Icon, okay?
Yeah, I'm with it.
It's all the same in the dark.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Can confirm.
Incredible. Alright, well.
You know what I say? They're all pink on the inside.
Oh my lord. Unless they have princess or ghoul blood.
Oh yeah, in which case we're really hoping it's a different color to make it easy to tell.
Cool. Well, I'm up first, so am I just gonna shoot at her?
Sure. Do we get a surprise round?
Alright, I'm gonna attack the ghouls and try to grapple with them and try to figure out which one is the princess.
So you're on ghoul detection duty?
Yeah, so I'll take the ads, I guess.
Since I've been instructed not to tangle with the ghouls, I will go for Kel. Full on.
How many ghouls are there again?
Fist first.
Five.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Okay. So, across the pond from the ambush point, Kel is sitting there with her arms crossed.
So, I wonder when they're going to actually make their move.
She knows we're here.
She knows.
This bitch.
So tedious. Wait a minute. Isn't that...
And she, like, flicks her tongue along her sharp teeth.
Familiar blood. I know that stink. Well, maybe I'll get a chance for revenge after all, old girl.
And then the ground all around her explodes as artillery shells like hit on all side of her, fired from the Crundler Bust Blow.
Okay, I am aiming my Crundler Bust Bow, and I am triggering Unleash Everybody. Hell, which is triggered by making a ranged attack, and my attack is multiplied, expanded, and replicated by my sheer badassery. These extra blasts rocket out insanely defined trajectory and physics to strike up to 4 additional targets in range.
Or you can hone them all in on one and do double damage.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Much like my second favorite sniper movie, American Sniper, starring my other friend Bradley Cooper.
I hate you. And his fake baby.
He definitely knows Bradley Cooper.
Okay, so...
Bradley Cooper is a fake baby?
No, don't. In that movie. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
Okay, so my accuracy is my agility plus 5, so that's 15.
I should have the... Do I have the number written next to the attack? 15?
No.
Okay, you should write.
Oh, roll bonus? Is that
yeah,
what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, then yes, 15. Plus, I rolled a 12, so that's 27.
Minus her guard of 13.
That's still over 10.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Yeah. And so the damage without additions is 33.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it doubles because it will double. Unleash Hell.
Yep.
All right, so the ground around her goes... erupts like a mortar just went off under her feet. Mist and water spray up into the air and then settle. And when it settles, she's standing there looking just ever so slightly rumpled and angry.
Honey, Spina, your reputation precedes you.
Top of the muffin to you.
I can't wait to wear you as a hat.
Bitch, I was going to say bitch, buddy.
Whoa.
Cut me off.
Well, let's watch the gendered insults.
Fuck off, Cramiel.
All right, well, you roll on a 10 for her reaction.
Yes.
That's fine.
He's
trying to make it more welcoming.
He's trying to make this war party more welcoming.
9.
All right. All right, solid blow, no reaction.
Yeah! She's dead, we won.
We're going
to
wrap it up.
She
wrap it up, let's go home.
All right, Kathy.
Go, Kathy. Go, Kathy.
I'm going to charge in.
Great.
Maybe get her with a, you know, axe to the chest like you're so good at doing.
We'll discuss this later.
Let's do battle marks. We got to get some of the... We got to keep the character going even during the fight scene.
Yeah,
here.
Do what you're good at, Queen Lavaline.
What? No axe? That's good. Yeah.
Savage.
Anyway...
If she needs an axe, I have an axe! The barbarian is running, trying to keep up with Lavaline, but she's so fleet of foot that,
I am.
She slips ahead, her spear winding left and right.
I'm taking a power for moving more than 3 spaces.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody gain a power for roleplay odds and ends around. I forgot to give that to you earlier.
So, and then I'm going to try to stab her with my spear.
Well, well, your highness.
As Lavaline slips gracefully, running almost over the top of the water,
yeah,
skidding to a stop and thrusting her spear. Which weapon action are you using? Are you using the cold iron venom?
I am.
Okay, because remember, using it uses a dose even if you miss.
Well, I hope I hit.
All right.
God, I hope I get
quicksilver
it.
Quicksilver liquid
I get it.
Spits out of the... out of the spine at the end of the manticore spear, coating the blade. Kel recognizes the very deadly to her kind poison on the spear tip as it thrusts forward and
a hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's humanoid?
Yes.
So that's an extra 5. So that's 38 damage plus whatever the cold iron does.
Oh god, okay. 38, so 78.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right. There are 2 flashes as their spears meet, and then Lavaline slips low and sticks Kel right in the hip with
her poison
dart. Venomed dagger, or I'm sorry, a venomed tip of her spear, which causes the whole like right side of Kel's body to contort and dry up for a few seconds. Ooh. Before, you know, painstakingly filling back out.
Nasty, nasty woman.
Oh.
Nasty hobbitses. Venoms and poisons and ambushes. Oh my. Look at you fighting like you're actually in a war. Like you've got something oh so precious to lose.
All right, which yeah, Lavalie does not respond.
Glares right, at her.
Roll on a 10 for her reaction.
3.
Okay. Could you make a vitality difficulty 5 defense roll?
16.
All right. 16 minus 8 is not a success. Okay, so as you stick the spear into her midsection and pull it out, a jet of, like, viscous liquid rolls down her leg and then snakes out towards you, slipping up and biting into your skin. You take 4 spirit damage.
Yikes.
And are envenomed. All right, so when you are envenomed, when you take damage, you double the damage.
Ooh. All
right, that last one round, by the way. Okay, so Katie.
So I'm wondering if I can do a kind of sneak attack, given that Kel was aware of us already.
Depends on if you can, like, when you are moving over to her sneak, like, out of sight. So, basically it's going to be a skill check.
Okay.
To see if you can.
Because what I'd like to do is try to, while Kel's distracted and with Lavaline, try to sneak up behind Kel and stab in the back.
So.
With tots for poison.
Poison. Poison
for more poison.
Baby's first poison set. No, nice. my dagger, and
so I picture Val like in her cloak, like swimming like a koi under the water, just like
no, it's like Rambo.
Yeah, like Rambo. Yeah. Well, I just picture koi because of the fins. Yeah. Like so. Would you please make a sneak check, which is your was an agility check versus Kel's focus.
Okay. Well, shucks. I've got 12 minus 7.
Yeah, I don't think you can get...
Unless I could call on... Sly.
Got 7 points worth of...
Bold. And wild.
Ooh. I don't think I can count wild because it's just a sneak attack. It's not really... Well, I mean, I guess you're swimming under the water. All right, half.
What about the others?
You can have those, yeah.
Okay. So that's exactly passed because I got to a 17.
Nice.
So that puts
nice.
Me at 10.
Jeez. All right, okay.
You got there, baby.
Okay, so there it is. So as the fighting starts, spear blows, raining sparks down onto the water. There's a burst in the water behind Cal as... Rambo Val blasts up out of the water, blade in hand. Okay, let's roll up. Kel's guard is 13.
Motherfucker. I rolled a 3.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that's just, we're done.
All right, so you get a reprisal. So as you run into her, basically her spinning spear guard, she ducks forward and you just... You're not even sure where, but you got a big, nasty slice across your midsection for 3 body damage.
Cool. Tight.
Val, nice to see you again, too.
Okay. Josh.
All right. I am going to try to make my way over to where the ghouls are.
All right. As you are running over to where the ghouls are, a thin moonlight veil begins to settle on your chest and twists itself into a suit of moon armor. So heavy, glowing plate appears around your shoulders, chest, and arms. So you gain 5 shielding and 4 spaces of movement.
Great.
All right. Okay, it is very surprised when it sees a massive moonlight armor-bearing orc come rushing out of the fog at it.
And then... Whoa. So that's my move action, and then I think it is a complex action to brawl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use the clinch, so that's, I think it's that's a strength or vitality check.
Yep.
I'm not sure what its defense is. It's not clear from the rules.
Oh, it'll be a contest, so it'll be against its strength, which is 5.
All right. 23.
All right, so... There is a crunching sound as the barricade gets a grip on this creature so tight that its like bones threaten to pop out of the socket if he applies any more pressure.
Well, hello there.
Okay, so you, I think you can do a bunch of damage to them if you want when you initiate a clinch.
So, all I want to do is I want to try to blade the top of its head.
Yeah, so I think since you automatically get damage whenever you grapple, I think you can just go ahead and manhandle that into a nick on the forehead if you'd like.
Okay, so yeah, so for those in our audience who don't know, professional wrestlers will have a razor blade in the tape that's along on their wrists, and so he exposes that and then just sort of runs it right across their hairline.
Yeah, gently. Like.
Where there is not a lot of pain receptor cells, but there is a lot of blood
capillaries,
flow. And then, shakes him around a bit, gets the blood
just flowing. Just trying to get the blood to shake out. All right, roll a luck check. Wouldn't it be funny if you nailed it on the first one and just the fairy is like, oh my god, what's happening?
89.
Holy shit. So how many of them are there?
Five. So 20% each.
So it seems like it might be a 20% each sort of situation, yeah. Huh?
So it seems like we're in the top 20%. That would seem...
Whoa.
Doesn't it look kind of like you rolled in the top 20%?
Looks exactly like that. Don't lie.
Facts
are facts. Interesting. So he barricade runs up, draws a line across this one's forehead, which comes out vivid neon pink. Ooh. Its blood is just bright, brilliant pink as it like pours out onto its head.
Oh, and, shit, it's
and
you.
And she goes, oh, fuck, what the fuck, man? Oh, fucking shit. But she's screaming it in high fey.
Do I understand that?
Yep. Makes sense. Think only Lovely knows it. So it comes out like, fuck the mock was, he got
the I'm the barricade. I'm here to kidnap you.
Oh!
What the fuck?
Not
helpful.
But not hurt you. Well, right. More than this already.
All right, Andy. Andy, you're up.
All right. I'm going to approach Kel and use the only spell I learned in magic school.
Okay.
I picked it up when me and Nugs lost in Call of Duty. And
whoa.
I put a hole in the drywall.
Oh,
this spell is called Magic Mage Fist.
No.
Mage Fist. Because Mage Fist is, or Mage Hand is for wimps.
Exactly. So.
Wow.
Hell yeah. that is gonna be a hit. Well, I guess I.
Yeah,
assume.
Guard is 13.
Yeah, well, that's a 30 for me.
Whoa. Nice.
That's a hit. So, yeah, that'll be 30.
All right, so.
Cramuel Bonk!
Holy shit. All right, he punches Kel in the side of the face so hard, like a ripple goes out in the water all around her from the shockwave. Did you just punch me?
For justice.
What the fuck is that? Who's screaming in high... Oh, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
You didn't know?
So pink blood is spraying out. Bitterbell, I swear you are so fucking fucked right now. Okay, Amanda, you're up.
She seems mad at you.
All right, so that was the ambush round.
Did you not have her permission to be here?
If this is just beef with Kel, you can kill Kel. I don't give a shit about Kel.
Okay, we will.
Good, okay, so let me go then. That's right.
We'll let you go eventually.
Hold your horses, kitten. Hold your horses. We might need to have a chat with you, but you just hang tight.
Listen.
Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you.
You don't even want to know who my mother is.
I know who
your
mother is.
Yeah, we know who your mother is.
That's why we're here.
100%.
Oh, so you're completely insane then.
No, we're heroes.
What? All right.
So, because this possible situation can be triggered by hitting an enemy with a ranged attack, mm-hmm. Do I have to call that I want to use this first, or can I wait and see if it hits
and
then add
it?
You
wait and see if it hits. Isn't that awful?
I love it.
Because, okay, so for those of you who don't know, Herdy was Amanda's 4E, 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons character, and she played a ranger who our friend Tony built for her out of the most broken, overpowered pieces available. And she was just a terror on the battlefield. Just the most glass cannon, little nightmare. I've built her in a similarly broken fashion to mirror that.
It was right at launch of 4E, and the reason that Tony picked Ranger is that they had run this big promotion where there was a competition to see which party could beat the
clear
first.
Clear a dungeon the fastest.
Yeah, and the group that won it was like five Rangers. So Tony was like, oh, this is the most broken thing in the book. Let's make it.
Yeah.
How do you
It's Amanda's
a...
first D&D character. Let's make it something really overpowered.
Yep, then I'm going to roll to use my Crundler Busto. That is a 24.
Okay.
And what's her guard? 13?
Yeah, you're already
so
good.
That hits. Which means I'm going to go ahead and trigger Sweetow's Sploder, which if I hit an enemy with a ranged attack, I can spend 20 anima to unleash a 5x5 explosion centered on the initial target. The initial target and all other characters in the area take 30 fire damage minus their agility. Are we within five? It's just her and the demons, right?
No, she's cool. Over here. That's going to blow up Lavalian and Sam Cramuel.
Oops. Worst possible people that could be chosen to accidentally get a little bit singed.
Holy
in my
shit. You traitorous, doing it anyway. Treacherous monster. All right.
Oops.
All right. Kel is vulnerable to fire 10, so she takes 40 additional. Oh my God. She takes 70 damage.
She sure does.
Like 300 damage.
Wait.
On her already.
This is.
How much do I get?
Scandalous.
You're not vulnerable to fire.
No, I am currently at double damage.
So your damage is 30 fire minus your agility.
Oh, 30 fire minus your agility. What's your agility?
10.
10, so 20. So you take 2 spirit damage.
Well,
see, you're 4. Fine.
Okay, well, I'm broken.
You're fine. No, you're not.
Okay, you... all right, so you get a nasty burn for 2 trauma.
Does this count as a bleed effect?
No.
This power destroys mundane structures of durability up to rot stone, toppling structures and trees. I don't think that happened.
Oh, there is a pit, though. Oh, you sent a spray of...
All affected characters have a 100% chance to be thrown 5 spaces away from the Sploder's epicenter. So where do you two want to land? This is Kel.
All right, so a huge explosion goes off. Cramuel, you take 2 spirit damage. However, the envenomed Lavaline takes a lot and winds up...
Is this Cramuel? This cat? This cat man
woman? That's the best mini I could find for him.
I love her.
Especially because it looks like my friend Jason Derulo.
In the
Academy Award winning film Cats.
Cats?
Sorry, guys.
This does not
aim
rule.
Better.
Walk it off. Don't be so close to my target, how about?
Is this a microaggression feels like?
Learn ranged.
It feels like
attack.
A major aggression.
This is a major aggression.
2.
Oh, Kel's curse.
Well, that doesn't sound that bad.
All right, you are automatically afflicted with Kel's curse. So you start to feel kind of damp and like...
Rabbits hate being wet.
Yeah, a little... You feel a little damp around the edges. And your mouth is like filling with water.
Hell.
All right, Kel's curse's effects are secret.
Oh, great.
A wizard or something could analyze you. But
I have Kel's curse.
Okay. Kathy.
Yes?
How are you doing over there? It's your up.
Sorry.
Oh. I'm going to get my ass up.
Kel is breathing fire at this point, though.
She's breathing fire?
Well, like, she actually, like, breathes fire out of her mouth because it got in there from when she got shot with that explosive.
She coughed right. She coughed up a little fireball. No big deal.
Can I get up and get over there and stabby stab?
You sure can.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
All right.
Is it easier because she's laying on the ground and prone?
Yeah, what is the rule on that? Yeah, you get a +2.
Cool. I'm going to try to use my...
Going right back
over.
So
you run over, leap
you haven't
up
learned
in the
anything?
Air, and try to spike the spear down using venom again.
Mm-hmm. I really don't want to miss.
Yeah, I really don't want you to miss.
Yes! Okay. So, all the same things that we said last time.
81 damage? Yep.
I think it was 78.
Oh, you're the 70. I keep track of them separately, so you were the mushy. That's the mini that you're using.
Okay, let's try to get below 50 again.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can
do it. Did it. And you 16.
Did it, and you did it. 16. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to do this now, though. Oh, so, that's
no sentence that starts that way is good. This is not going to be good.
All right. She's going to use Legendary Combatant. And as the blade launches down towards her face, you have no idea how she does this, but she catches the haft of the spear and pushes it back away from her face.
Not today, friends.
Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan.
Okay.
Your whole existence is a mistake.
All right, so that cancels that attack.
Son of a bitch.
And Katie, you're up.
Cool. So definitely ego bruised, a little disheartened after that super fail ambush. So I guess we'll just fire this witch hair bow. And right. I'm not using a special arrow because those are precious. Sorry, but
I mean, this is a legendary...
You're not worth it yet.
This is a legendary Fey Knight.
Let her get warmed up. Then she can use it.
I'm not sure if any of them...
But it's not useful. Noticing an arrow is fired doesn't make any sense. No. Kel, though, we haven't really assigned a specific gender to Kel. It's not End of Men. And also, Kel going into another realm doesn't do us any good either.
Mm. Love it.
Not if you want to kill her.
Sorry.
However, that bow does do pretty good damage, so...
Yeah. So, just a mundane arrow.
Fire it off.
And...
All right, guard is 13.
Oh, I didn't roll a 3. I rolled a 2. So.
Woohoo!
All right, the arrow goes whizzing out, arcs down perfectly, and ruptures off of Kel's scaled armor. And Josh.
All right, so I'm going to sustain the grapple. I'm not exactly sure what action type that is. Probably a complex again?
Yeah, because then you can drag her or... toss her or smash her or something.
No, we're gonna toil her, mash her, stick
I know,
her
I know. I'm just saying these are your options.
All right, it's gonna be. I'm gonna like keep trying to reassure her. It's gonna be okay. But here we gotta. Let's get away from these ghouls. What do you think?
Nah, I'm all right.
Well, tough.
Protect the princess.
So the ghouls all start murmuring and gurgling something about protecting the princess and charging you.
All right, I'm going to fall back to where like my allies are back
okay.
over here.
So she's got no chance to stop. She's not strong enough, so you drag her back to where Herdy is.
So, look, all I want to do is bring you home. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure that I want to go home. I did come here for a reason, you know.
Yeah, because you wanted to like be a knight like Kel, right?
No, fucking what? Gross. Kel's disgusting. I'm here because she... The safe passage to the realms of gold.
You're trying to run away?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you need to hear.
Well,
it's personal. I don't have to fucking tell my kidnapper why I came to the shores of the realms of gold.
Right, well,
in this
you're gonna
of
have
sadness.
To. You're gonna have, to, you're gonna have to run away again because you're going back home.
I don't know. I don't think you're gonna. I don't think you want to hold me anymore.
What do you mean by that?
Well, listen. You seem like a pretty decent guy, but I'm really poisonous. As the pink...
Yeah, what?
I'm really poisonous. As the like, pink
is running...
I have
so much skin exposed.
As the pink is running down her forehead. If any of that gets on you, you're gonna die.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, hey.
I hold
fair
her,
warning, I, last chance.
I flip her up and hold her upside down.
Oh my god. Do you like dunk her in the water a little to like
sure.
rinse
swirly.
Off?
Don't you're giving this princess a swirly right now?
So
is that what's happening?
So all of the
oh my god.
All of the paint comes off of her forehead into the water. One of the ghouls steps into the water that has the pink poison in it. And goes and dies instantly, dropping to the ground in a pile, and then its body goes and just dissolves into a slurry.
Oh, cool. Okay, she was like, not kidding about
oh,
the poison.
Here, boy. Here, boy. Come here.
When you guys started talking about, like, well, cut her and see what fucking plant comes out, I was like, oh my god, that's so amazing.
Why are you poisonous?
All right, so you drag her back over to Herdy. And,
Herdy's just like, don't bring it over here!
You should probably, like, tie her up or something.
Alright, the ghouls catch, charge, the barricade in Herdy. Alright, so, Herdy and the barricade each need to make, so let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So each of you need to make 4 guard checks, because each of these ghouls has 2 attacks. So they come in swinging wildly with their claws, spreading their attacks out among the two of you. What'd you roll?
A 20.
You got, okay. So as one of them leaps up towards Herdy, she pulls her sidearm and puts a bullet right through the fucking
between its eyes.
Right between one of their eyes. So kill one of them.
Yes.
We'll all spend 2 power to do counter kill on one of them. So when you're attacked by a minion, cancel the attack and kill the enemy. And I would like to...
You just reach up.
Because I'm holding her, so yeah. It comes at me. I do the thing where, like, you grab its forehead and it, like,
yeah,
can't get to
it
me.
Can't, yeah, it's
and
clawing then, at
and
the
then
air.
And then take her head.
With her bloody head.
Just rub her on it. Okay, so you nerd resist its run. It claws wildly at your stomach but can't reach you. And then you rub the princess on him and he goes... and his eyes spray out of his forehead all over your stomach.
2 down.
And down he goes.
Air 5.
And then the other two attack you each for 2 twice. So
guard. The princess and the last.
You're pretty useful for a princess.
Guard.
I heard that.
So there's 2 left.
Yeah, get it.
And they each attack you with 2 claws.
Okay.
So guard twice. Difficulty 5 each.
That one I failed.
Okay, 2 body damage.
Yeah, me too.
And again.
Oh.
That one I passed.
Okay.
So after their -5... I got 12.
Okay.
Then I got a 17 on my second roll, so I passed the second one too.
Okay, so fails are 2 body damage as they rake you with their filthy claws. So the Moonlight Mage is, I think she's going to use Arrow of Moonlight. So she weaves a spell in the air, and a huge, strange, mystical symbol appears in front of Val. Valeriana, since you seem to be firing at range, would you please fire through the moon sigil that I've just made?
I'll try, but it's been kind of an off day.
I know. Deep breaths, concentrate. You can do this. You are a hero. I'm 90% sure.
All right.
All right, so on your next turn, it creates something that you can fire through to give you an extra effect on your next range attack.
Yeah, and I'm going to charge head first back to Kel, and I am actually going to use my skill pump. So I am going to...
he flexes, his muscles get even bigger.
I'm going to down a muscle milk.
No!
And I'm going to spend 5 anima, and I get +10 strength for this attack.
Nice.
And so I'm just going to start using my fists.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to use old Fred Durst and Kid Rock.
No.
Ew, no.
Durst and Rock.
We're about to clean and jerk your head right off your body.
Oh my God. Andy, I love you.
All right. So Cramuel takes the advantage of Lavaline, like, pressing down with her spear and Kel holding it in one of her clawed hands. And he just comes up next to her and just tees off. Punching wildly like the Hulk and down into the ground. And boy, his attacks have a huge force behind them right now.
So that would be 40 with that power I added.
Did you hit?
Yeah, let me roll that real quick. Yeah, I hit.
Nice. All right, 40 damage. All right, so you tease off on the side of Kel's head, and the blade of the spear slips dangerously close to her eyes. And then there is an explosion of water around her, and Lavaline and Bonks both need to make a guard 6 and a grit 8 check.
Enough of this nonsense!
Failed on both.
Hey, you made it.
Failed one, passed one?
Failed both?
I failed both.
Okay, so a fail on the guard is 3 body damage.
Oh, cool.
And a fail on the grit is 4 mind damage.
I am doing awesome.
All right, so a torrent of poisoned water explodes out around Kel. At the end of which she is standing on top of, like, a geyser of water with her spear aimed down. and the water itself has risen up into the shape of a massive, like, serpentine face as Kel's personal lagoon has come to defend her. So Kel aims her spear at Lavaline. Okay, so now she gains the lagoon hydra strike point, so you can attack that if you'd like. And she aims her spear down at the queen.
I am so proud that I'm going to be the one to make sure you never see that filthy little whelp of yours.
Do you ever stop talking?
Just long enough. Kick your ass.
To eat your donut.
To eat a donut. No, okay. On the south side of the battlefield, the water has started to gurgle, and something rises up out of the pond, or out of the muck and the mire. It's a twisted, hideous, half-human, half-horse abomination made of cruelty and scaled flesh.
It is absolutely awful.
Look at its butt.
Pretty sweet mini. I know, isn't that gross?
It has like a badonk, silky butt. Oh, I really hate it. Damn. That's the mount?
Dead ass, though.
Yeah.
Don't give us the
point at me.
Miali the Rush comes up out of the water.
What have we here?
The stranger's hat tipped upwards. A faint glint appeared beneath as his eyes caught the light. Luel cast his own eyes down, desperate not to meet the stranger's gaze.
Gather up your things. Get out of the tavern. Sleep in a tree. You do not want to be here anymore.
Luel's mind kicked like a startled mule. He had never been this willing to abandon a story. Never, ever betrayed his vocation so thoroughly and completely. He wanted out. With a sudden bluster of wind and shock of cold, the door was cast open wide, banging loudly into the stone wall. Evor the Waller and his three children staggered into the tavern. Evor was too gentle a man to burst in that way. The whole room, all knew him, and all seemed to sense at once that something terrible had happened. Luel had met Evor his first night in Peshawid. He was an incredibly kind man, doting father and loving husband. A truly good man like him was a rare find, but the story thief had tossed aside most of the details. He was a good and kind man, which meant that when the god's hammer fell on him, it would fall hard. But until it did, there was no story worth stealing there. But now blood trickled down to Evor's forehead. It had frozen red icicles in his beard. The children did not even whimper, their minds squeezed with shock. No, Luel's heart bucked in his chest. I do not want to be here for this. It was too late, of course.
Help us, please, Evor choked out. A bear. A bear wearing armor like a warhorse. It took Ivia.
The words barely made it out of his throat. The horror was crippling him. Luel could see the words forcing terrible sights before his mind's eye, and each made him wince as if he had been struck a blow.
I'm sorry to interrupt, my good fellow, the stranger said, cutting him off. His voice was odd, his accent unplaceable. I happened to be in the middle of revealing a miracle. He then held up a stern finger for quiet.
Evor was stunned back to silence. He pressed his eyes shut, not able to process. He looked like he might stammer something, but was at a loss. The stranger suddenly had the air of a Child Day celebration performer. His gestures were elaborate and exaggerated. His voice lilted and sang.
You there, sir, he said, pointing to a man, seemingly at random.
It was Adibur, a woodsman.
How many children do you have?
Adibur's massive brow raised. He set his jaw, not at all enjoying the evening's turn. The big man began to stand and go to Evor by the door.
You'll excuse me while I attend to my friend's troubles.
You'll answer, the stranger said. Something dangerous played around the edges now.
Adibur, a wall of muscle and a lifetime of living by his own laws, withered like a scolded dog. It just so happens that I have three. The mothers before blessed us with three. As one, in fact. He was proud. Even in the face of that terrible moment, he could not hide the pride in his children. Three children born as one was an incredible blessing, rare beyond rare, and with so few left, anything that sped up the cycle of life was cause for celebration. How did you miss the woodcutter had triplets? Luel's mind was scrambling. He'd been in peril many times. Each and every one he had slithered loose of it like a mink, but he'd never felt as trapped as he did now. The rest of those gathered were standing. Some of the men had hands on sword pommels or axe hafts. Nedda's lovely round face was set and grim, a bodice dagger drawn and at her side. "Congratulations on the boon of life to you all," the stranger said, with genuine joy in his voice. "And you, sir, how many children might you have?" The other man, a trapper by the patchwork of furs making up his cloak, began to speak, but as he did, his face began to pale. The words came slowly. Something had clicked in place. It filled the man with unplaceable fear. "I have three." The stranger pointed to a woman on the other side of the bar. "Three born as one," she said. His long finger, one of seven, moved to another person. "I have three born as one. Two sons and a daughter," someone offered with a strange desperation, as if finding some differentiation would give them back their lives, even as their histories were being tampered with by the stranger. But heads began to nod and the vice continued to tighten. Two sons and a daughter all. The veteran among the keepers stood and hefted a greatsword from where it leaned on the wall. The pommel clutched a particularly large binding. The dull stone refused to reflect the tavern's light as the warden angled it towards the stranger. The veteran spoke authoritatively from within a neatly trimmed black beard. "That's enough, magician. I don't know what you're playing at, but it's done." The keeper, a warden it would seem, squeezed at the bind on the end of the sword. Luel had seen a warden eat spellcraft a few times, though he had never managed to suitably describe what a strange thing it was to witness. "That's all it is," Luel tried to comfort himself. "It's a spell peddler muddling with everyone's minds, putting a scare into us. It isn't true, it's just bewitchment." When the warden looked down in shock at the bindstone, and then at his companions, Luel's heart jumped back up in his chest. When the warden said nothing, turned his back to the room and sat, shaking, back at his seat, Luel tried to bolt for the door. His legs did not cooperate. Badrick the headman began to speak, his once commanding presence now filled with fear and panic. "It was a blustery and cold night. My wife and children were on our way home, just down the road from Metia's." His voice trailed off as the memory jabbed forward in his mind with searing pain. Luel tried to run then, but his body was not his own. He looked down and realized he had been writing. His eyes flicked to the top of the page. He'd been writing since the man came in. "We were on our way home, and something big rushed out of the dark." Badrick tried to continue, but his throat closed. "A bear," one of the town guardians continued for him, because their stories were the same. All of their stories were now the same. "It tipped the cart," a woman called in. "Ignored the oxen. It went right for my husband." "My wife," someone added. "My wife, my husband, my wife." Again and again it was repeated. Luel counted 30 widowed and widowers, each with three children born as one. Each trio was two sons and one daughter. Each had a parent killed by a strange bear. Even as they'd realized it, it became true. As it became true, it had always been true. The stranger removed his hat. His eyes were as fire. The Northmen were from godless lands, unsworn and unmarked. Still at the sight of him, they began to kneel. An archmage could lift a mountain. An ensage could sing an army to dust. But this was a miracle none could deny. None but a god could make something true. It had not been so, but now it always was so. So the Northmen kneeled to the stranger, and all across the mountains and years to come, would raise roadside shrines and markers to him. Luel could see the traditions and trials and rites being cast forward into the future. They would whisper his prayers when they woke, and on dark nights, they would fear him. Luel's fingers cramped as he wrote it. His skills with the pen usually used for thievery now scrawled out a new sort of scripture, given freely, or perhaps given by force. He was now the stranger's prophet. To the end of his days, he'd never be remembered for another story but this one. The sound of bones cracking shook the still air. Luel saw small, perfectly white shapes skittering across the floor towards him. Teeth. Evor's walking staff lay shattered on the stone floor. It had broken across the stranger's face and had dislodged several of his perfect teeth. No one dared move. No one dared to breathe. The stranger shook his head, trying to stop ringing from the blow. He blinked rapidly as if seeing stars and fell back to his seat at the bar. She was alive! She was alive as it ate her, Evor said with an odd calm. You did this. Why did you do this? Why did you hurt her? You who could do anything at all, cause any happening. You chose to hurt her. Hurt them all. Orphan our children. Luel was not sure why he grabbed up the teeth. The vice grip of the stranger's will loosened. Perhaps the blow Evor struck was to thank, but his limbs stopped their endless scrawling, and in that stolen moment his thieves' fingers snatched up the teeth. The god did not seem to notice. Blood the color of honey poured down its chin. Where it touched the layers of leather and cloth it wore, the fabric moldered away. The leather mummified and turned to dust. Where the blood fell on the wooden bar, it petrified. Where it spattered on the stone crumbled to dust. The god stood again. The stars that were its eyes were now too bright to look at directly. Somewhere behind the light, it looked almost sad. You do not get to ask us, it said. As its long-fingered hands grabbed either side of Evor's face, his three children suddenly rushed forward. One struck its leg with a broken piece of Evor's staff. Honey-colored blood poured over the boy's hand, and his scream was high and piteous. The girl tried to reach up and pry the fingers loose of her father's face, but in so doing, she looked fully into the eyes that were stars, and her hair fell loose from her head all at once, and her body seized and bucked, crashing into and toppling a table. The third child pulled their father's dagger loose from his belt, but as his siblings writhed in agony, he cast it aside and wailed into his hands. The god began to keen. I blessed you with three children. I took one woman. Am I not kind? Am I not generous? Evor's voice rose into exquisite agony, then pitched up and up again until it was nothing more than a painful, wincing suggestion of a sound. You could have kept your memories, could have kept her there. Am I not good? The god howled now in fury and anguish. Luel watched, transfixed by the horror of it. He knew he would never sleep soundly again. The god's jaw snapped open wide, its sharp, perfect teeth, row after row of them appearing from within pink flesh and gums. Am I not good? Am I not beautiful? Am I not glorious? It screamed from its wide open mouth. Then it bit deep into the face of the helpless, writhing mortal. The men and women who knew him and loved him and relied on him looked down. The keeper's back stayed turned. Luel's fingers helplessly wrote what transpired. Eivor's blood and soul sprayed out into the air. His children felt the life of their father spatter warm and cold onto their skin. Then everyone forgot him. Only a ghost of him remained, an empty father-shaped hole where he had once been. The color of his eyes popped between the god's molars. The sound of his voice rolled around on its tongue. The last words he had spoken dribbled down its chin and spattered onto the floor. The god chewed all that he was and swallowed it. The screaming and shaking and the sound of fire from the god's eyes were gone all in a rush, but it was hours before anyone dared to look up. The stranger was gone. The man he'd killed was mostly forgotten. The fire had died down, and the only warmth in the now frigid building was cast from the last glowing morsels of the devoured man's soul as it sputtered out on the stone. His children sat huddled around them, as if soaking in the last warmth of Eve's last embers. They clasped one another's hands as the last light of a good man reflected in their eyes. Then it went out.
Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knudsen.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBHpod, and check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.com.